And so what this word of encouragement is largely a summary. Jesus said, I will build my church. So from that we understand that Jesus Christ was going to build a church, and through that church he was going to be handling the message of preaching the gospel to the world. And interestingly, there's a big difference between the spiritual organism, which is the Church of God, and a physical organization. And it's quite often that people get these mixed up, and that's where we run into some conflicts and some confusion. In John 5:15, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. The Church of God is composed of Spirit-filled Christians who constitute the body of Christ. Some have thought the different Church of God organizations were the branches. This simply is not true. Individual Christians are the branches. How do we know that? Because Jesus just said it. I am the vine, you are the branches. And he wasn't pointing to different Church of God organizations when he said it. Individual Christians are the branches. The spiritual should not be confused with the physical. When we think of our baptism, we're baptized into the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19 gives that baptism formula. And we're not baptized into the Church of God International or the Living Church or the United Church. We're baptized into God's family. So the purpose of the booklet says that the CGI is a physical corporation chartered in Texas and in Canada whose purpose is to direct the efforts of some in the spiritual organism through its organizational strengths. So why is there a Church of God International? Because we have some organizational strengths that allow us to work with some of the people in the body of Christ towards doing a work. The members of the spiritual organism voluntarily worship together to fulfill the common purposes of preaching and publishing the gospel. The next title talks about becoming a church. The Bible is silent on the specific number necessary for starting a church. The CGI Ministerial Council has determined a local church charter will be granted only when there's at least 12 baptized members in regular attendance. And we work with smaller groups to potentially bring them to the level of being chartered. So in Ottawa, we have 12 members, and so we're a chartered church. In Kawartha, they're one of the new groups, and they don't have 12 baptized members, and so we consider them a fellowship group. Essential activities of a local church. Why do we have a church in Ottawa? Why is there a CGI group meeting here in Ottawa? Four reasons. First, worship. This involves prayer and hymns and honoring God with our presence. Number two, edification. That involves preaching and teaching. A third activity of a local church is fellowship. Simply being together to exhort and encourage. We do that at services, and we do that through social activities as we enjoyed last night. And number four, of essential activities of a local church, is service. This includes assisting the needy, visiting, encouraging, and helping the sick. The next topic talks about the different types of groups that exist within the CGI organization. Other organizations may arrange it slightly differently, but in CGI we have independent affiliated churches. So years ago, Winnipeg was an independent affiliated church that wanted to have a linkage with CGI. Eventually they became a chartered church, but they start out with an affiliation and then they joined into the CGI organization. There's another group, just talking about the independent affiliated churches, one of the neat terms that is listed there is a MIP, which is different than a map. So in the case of Winnipeg, they had a local speaker who was often doing their messages, and they looked at them as their pastor. When they were associating with CGI, he didn't automatically become a minister. There's now a program in CGI called the Ministerial Integration Program. And this just allows CGI to certify that, yes, we understand that this person will teach our doctrine correctly. So in addition to the MAP program, there's a MIP program for elders in these independent affiliated churches that would like to be credentialed by CGI. Another type of group is fellowship groups. I'd mentioned Kawartha as an example of that, where the ministerial council can assign pastoral oversight. So in this case, Harane Smith and perhaps one other elder are kind of the pastors of record for the Kawartha group. And the last type is chartered churches, such as Ottawa, which fully participate with the CGI and have a credentialed minister assigned. In our case, it's Adrian Davis and Murray Pommetier are the local pastors. Another part of the organization in CGI is what we call local church councils. In Ottawa, we've tended to call it the leadership group, but we might call it the local church council. It's the same thing. And the points that they want to be sure to point out here is that the local church councils don't run the church, but they oversee the physical duties under the direction of the pastor. So in some churches, especially churches of the world, you'll have a local council that tells the minister what he's going to preach and how he's going to preach it, and if he's too forceful, they tell him to ease off a bit. And if they don't like the preacher, they end up firing him. That's not the intent of a local church council in the Church of God International. The church council doesn't run the church, but it oversees the physical duties, finding hall rental space and making sure that everything is set up correctly, that we have some nice refreshments and that we plan some social functions. A lot of things that can be done to assist the pastor in the running of a church. Church councils are optional. In small churches, the congregation carries out these functions. The objective is to involve the lay membership in the decision-making process. The ministerial council recommends 5 to 7 members elected annually, and the candidates are okayed by the pastor. Again, we as brethren don't always understand some of the situations someone might be working through that might make it inappropriate for them to be part of the local church council. And so the pastors will understand that, and so we look for the pastor to approve any people on the council. A council should have a chairman, a secretary, and a treasurer, and have meetings quarterly or as needed. The qualifications involve good standing in the church, supporting the CGI beliefs, and it also recommends 1 member per family. The duties of the local church council are to serve the needs of the local membership, keep records of the spending, and to conduct meetings. Another part of church organization, which is scriptural, is that of deacons. In the booklet, it says, deacons refer to men or women who qualify, using 1 Timothy 3 as the qualification chapter, that are recommended by the members to serve as helpers of the physical needs of the congregation. They're ordained locally, and it's not necessarily transferred if they move. So if you're a deacon in one church and you move to another area that already has several deacons, you don't automatically just stay a deacon because that you happen to move to that area. In the other area, they could recertify if they need more deacons. They can, you know, you work with the brethren, and they can also request that you be anointed or appointed as deacon. The next part talks about the ministry, the duty of the elders, the ministers, and it lists 11 different things that are the duties of the ministers. So if you're wondering exactly what Adrian's responsible for, here's the list. Number 1 is to take care of their family. So many times, long-time people in the church, and again, in reading the scripture, you find that so often leaders in God's work are often so devoted to the work that they neglect some of their family responsibilities. And so the item that is listed number 1 in the booklet is for the ministry to take care of their family. Number 2, oversee the church. Number 3, feed the flock. So again, these have to do with teaching and also protection of the congregation. Number 4, as time permits, counseling. So again, back in the olden days of Worldwide, you had a full-time minister, and he was able a couple times a year to come to each home and to visit and to, you know, chat about you know, various things that might be happening, ask, you know, how's your Bible study going and how's your prayer life, to try to see if there's areas that they can counsel on, you know, improving your spiritual connection with Christ. Because the ministry today is also has a full-time job, the amount of time that they can spend in counseling is not as much as a full-time minister might be able to, but as time permits, that's one of their functions, is to counsel the church. Another point is arranging joint services. So especially in Western Ontario, the church groups are able to get together at different times for holy day services. Number six, encourage feast attendance. And that's one of the things where if you just start coming to church, you don't really think that the feast is all that important. Once you've attended a feast, it means so much to you after that. You understand. On paper, it's just, oh, you know, that's like six or seven Sabbath services all put together. But attending the feast tends to be one of those situations where 1 + 1 = 5. The having that much Holy Spirit jammed into one little feast site and all the interaction that we can have is an awesome thing. So one of the things that the ministry is responsible to do is encourage people to attend the Feast of Tabernacles. And they only have to get people to attend once before they realize how important it is to our spiritual growth. Number seven, live with high ethical standards. Ministry is to be a great example to the congregation. Number eight, provide servant leadership training. Number nine, recommend MAP candidates. Number 10, be accountable to the ministry and the ministerial council. And again, that's for some, it's a challenge when you're in a leadership position to have other people evaluating your work and other people making suggestions and recommendations. Sometimes, you know, it's a human characteristic of vanity, hubris, that people, you know, don't like to be to have accountability. And it's a key part of Christ's ministry, and that's why he chose the leadership structure he's done for the church. And number 11 is to oversee the local church council. So again, the local church council, the minister doesn't necessarily have to sit in on every meeting, but he's apprised of the things being discussed, and they ultimately are providing input to the church council about things that need to be decided upon. The next session talks about the ethical responsibilities of a minister, to be an example to the congregation, keep the Sabbath services a sanctuary for worship. So we don't want Sabbath services being a war zone. And that's happened sometimes. A process is listed for grievances and disagreements and ministers who might opt to leave the church. And so again, there's a process that's described in the booklet. So that if a minister decides that they're choosing to leave, they might want to still address the congregation, and there's a process that allows for that. Another point that's discussed is a speaking credential. And that's a certification by ministers who is authorized to speak in the churches where no minister is present. So this credential expires annually at the end of December, and a list of people that have the speaking credential is kept at head office. So, interestingly, I don't know, I've spoken in church for a long time, but I've never been told that I'm part of a list of people that have the speaking credential for CGI, but presumably that's the case where David, who does messages, and myself, that there's a list that they keep, and the intent of the list is so that the CGI can understand that a minister is certifying that David is not going to be preaching something that's not appropriate to the congregation. Worship and music is very important in the church. It says our worship music should be dignified, thoughtful, edifying to the listener, and glorifying to our Creator. Other sections talk about Sabbath school. The instructional material is divided with the local pastor and those who teach. There's teen and young adult programs in the church. The goals are to teach biblical principles, relationship with the Father and Jesus, and to share the gospel. Infuse at the feast has Infuse has probably five or six different things that they do each year. They have Infuse at the feast. They have an annual retreat, a website, a magazine, monthly correspondence, and then social media contact as well with the young adults in the church. Another section talks about conflict with the membership. So in a group setting, there's always going to be the possibility there will be disagreements or conflict that arises. And in the booklet, it talks about using the Matthew 18 principle of go to your brother and see if you can work it out, and if not, then you can potentially take it to the ministry as well. Territory, interestingly, our website is called CGI Ottawa, so we're representing the Church of God International in Ottawa, but it mentions in the manual for field churches that it's possible there could be another Church of God International group in this region, and we shouldn't feel bad that hey, they're in our territory, they should be part of our group. So the Ministerial Council makes it clear that it's not necessary that we only have one group in an area. Disfellowshipment is a result of specifically outlined sins, false teachings, seditions, or heresies contained in Scripture. It's a last resort, seeking they'll repent of their sins. So that's a scriptural principle that is a tool available to the church if needed. The last point is exceptions. So if there's anything that I've said today that misses a situation, the exception that they mention is that whatever the topic is should be pursued in a spirit of cooperation to the benefit, the mission of the church. So when David and I were down in Cincinnati, we covered this. In the next weeks, I'm going to get a flatbed scanner so that I can make sure that I have a scanned copy of this available on the website. But you're certainly able to request that from headquarters as well. So you can have your own copy of the manual for field churches, which just it explains what we're doing here, gathering together on the Sabbath, what to expect of the ministry and of the leadership group in the church, and what our goal is as a organization working with those that have God's Spirit.